And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I mean, this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I see some of y'all are already like neck deep in the texting. So I knew somebody would remind me. Jerry from Meridianville. It's Briscoe Darling. Yeah, got time to breathe. You got time for music. That's right. Thank you for that. You're exactly right. John from Huntsville. Okay, John, I guess you guys were texting back and forth. Yeah. No participation trophies. No.
I said, like, because I lost. Oh, I lost the NBA bracket.
Oh, did
and
you?
So he said he had a gift that was going to be if I won. He said, do you still want it? And I said, no, I don't take participation trophies.
Did you say thank you first, Boomer?
I did say thank you. Okay. I said congratulations to him, so he won. So he deserves a congratulations.
Awesome. Oh, did he win?
Well, he won against me. I don't know about him.
Gotcha. That's a win.
All right. That's a win.
Yeah. JT from Lacey Springs says the app, which we talked about a minute ago, the application of Texas taking positive action to secure the border. That's exactly right. There's an app. Yeah, the pure application of action. Thank you very much. Jeff from Hazel Green again, talking about things. Everybody's, now that I've brought up Briscoe Darling, Mr. Darling, you know, by the way, that was, so my lovely Charlene said for years, the only other Charlene she knew of in the whole world was Charlene Darling, who came down out of the hills once in a while on Andy Griffith. But Jeff from Hazel Green says, I don't know who he's talking about, but Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies, Jed Clampett says, they're lower than a tick on a snake's belly crawling in a wagon wheel rut. That's about as low as you can get right there, I guess. I don't know why he brought that up, but I'm just reading it. Here it is. Shane from Athens, the APP, Americans Protecting Property. Okay. All right. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate you. And then we got a brand new texter. Did you already see it, Boomer? Susan from Holly Pond. There you go. Over yonder towards Coleman. That's a beautiful little community, by the way. I used to always go. There's a place there, trying to think what the name of it, Shaw's? Was it Shaw's? A catfish place that you could go eat there. People drove in from all over the place. We used to, like, meet family there halfway and stuff. And it had a stream that ran through the inside of the building. And so you'd sit there, and there's fish swimming through the building while you ate fish. A little morbid, but okay. It was cool, though. In fact, Susan from Holly Pond, I bet she knows exactly what place I'm talking about. All right, so number one of the triple dipper here, social upheaval. Let's take a look at this for a second. I don't know if you saw it or not. This past weekend, Governor Ron DeSantis was like all over Iowa, which, you know, in political circles is like the bellwether state for getting out there and, you know, sort of announcing to the world you're running for office. So right now, Ron DeSantis has done everything to run for president except say he's running for president. He has now been to Iowa, did three separate appearances in one day, two major rallies, and then one tour of a restaurant where people were gathered. It's kind of one of those places you have to go. It's that barbecue place that every candidate shows up at. I'm sorry, I was trying to talk to Boomer at the same time. It's amazing how much we can do at one time. I'm reading, I'm texting, I'm looking at the computer, and I'm talking to you. But anyway, Ron DeSantis all over the place. It was kind of funny because Trump was supposed to have a major rally that night, but Trump actually called his rally off, which, has that ever happened before? Trump called off his rally, and allegedly, and I'm not going to question it too deeply, because there were threats of inclement weather, like maybe it was an outdoor rally, I don't know. But he said there were threats of tornadoes and all that. DeSantis went ahead and had his second rally, and nobody questioned it, because I don't think the weather was that bad, at least where he was. And then, wow. But when he gave his speech, as well you might imagine, Ron DeSantis talked at length about woke ideology and how what we're seeing right now is an absolute war on truth. It's a war on truth, which he responds to by saying we must have a war on woke. And so the Daily Caller Saturday came out with this, sort of a recanting or recounting of, sorry, of his day in Iowa. It says, wage a war on woke. DeSantis touts the culture war battles in key primary state ahead of his anticipated presidential run. His quote, he says, I believe the truth will set us free. Now, this advent of woke ideology really represents a challenge to this. I think it's a war on truth. And because it's a war on truth, we must wage a war on woke. And he went on to talk about things like, it's wrong for a teacher to instruct a student that they're born in the wrong body or gender is a choice. He talked about his war with Disney. He talked about things like, you know, getting out there and saying that, and here's his quote, it's wrong for a swimmer to compete for 3 years on the men's team and then switch to the women's team and then win the women's national championship. He said, I'm sorry, that's a fraud. And they're trying to perpetrate on it. And we should not accept that. Here's the thing. Number one of the triple dipper is social upheaval. There is an effort, and I talked about it in my monologue, there is an effort to continually hammer away until they sort of chip away at the social norms. And by the way, I am thoroughly aware that there are some things that will change with time. Fashions, I get it. I put away the bell bottoms years ago. I don't care if I ever wear a leisure suit again. Yes, I had one in the 70s. The tail fins are not going to come back on cars for the most part. You're going to see things that are going to go away with fashion trends. You're going to see things that are going to go away with, you know, choices in how to do your house. What style are you going to build with? Do we have front porches or no front porches? What color brick do we use? What are the typical colors on a wall? Do you have open floor plans or not? All these things change over time. You're going to have scientific changes. Do we expect that we could ever put a man on the moon? Is the moon achievable? We made it to the moon. What about GPS technology revolutionizing our ability to know where we are in the world? How about everybody having a cell phone in their pocket when it used to be a dial phone sitting on the desk with a long cord? All these things change, but things that don't change are principles. Things that don't change are things that we call truths, actual truths, truths that are actually true. Like, for instance, there's two genders. Well, what we're seeing right now is a constant stream of an assault on actual truth. I think Ron DeSantis nailed it when he said that. I think he nailed it. There is a war on truth, which means that we have to then in turn have a war on woke. And that's where we are, folks. It's not just enough to have that situational awareness, which is so important that I talked about in my monologue. We've got to have that. But we've also got to follow that up with the willingness to commit action. So when you see it, it's not enough just to see it. You have to see it and be willing to address it. That's why I constantly encourage on this show, it is not, like for instance, let's take kids. You do not have to have kids in the school system to care about what happens in the school system. You don't. It's your community. That alone should be enough because you know what truth is. And there are certain truths that cannot change. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Truth. How long is it going to be? Do they tell us that it's all about all day? It's all day. I mean, that's what we're looking at. Right? There is only two genders. No, there's not. There's 98 genders. Gender fluidity. You can go back and forth and be that which you want to be today. How do you identify? The assault on truth is a social upheaval, and they're being allowed to perpetrate it. It's even to the point now that it's dividing our churches, the places where truth is supposed to be the principal position upon which they stand, the unerring word of God, the authenticity of God, the ability to know that there are certain things, like when you walk through the doors of your church, you can expect consistency. No, they don't want that now. Story on 1819 News. In Alabama alone, upwards of 500 United Methodist churches have now left the United Methodist denomination. I don't know if you've heard this, Boomer, or not, but the United Methodist Church is going through what some are calling a schism. I mean, they're literally breaking down. Yeah. They're saying it's not as bad as they thought it was going to be. I mean, I've got two articles here on it, one from 1819 talking just about Alabama. The other is from a national perspective. Christianity Today magazine has their piece on it. Christianity Today says, not as big as we thought it was going to be, basically. 6.4 million U.S. members, 13 million worldwide, that, you know, a true schism would be like 50%, and we're not even there. We're looking at about 6.5%. Okay. The fact that we've got that large a percentage, and I think it's probably larger than that over time, it will be, I think we're looking at something much bigger. In fact, the article that says, it's only about 6.5%, that came out in January. And that came out in January, noting for a fact that the states in which more of it's happening are Texas, North Carolina, Alabama, and Indiana. And they talk about the fact that, you know, it's a social cultural thing. Well, they point out very clearly, though, that the biggest argument is on the question of the LGBTQ agenda in church. There should be no LGBTQ agenda in church. You can love the person without adopting the behaviors. Boomer's waving his hands and agreeing with me. You can.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing to me. It's like saying, we love the alcoholic and we're all going to drink with you now.
Bring it on in. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Nearly 150 Methodist congregations in North Alabama chose to disaffiliate on Thursday of last week. Last week, 150 churches. There's one right down the road from our house, a little country church. It's a beautiful little white church. It looks like a postcard. And it's been a United Methodist church for over 100 years, I believe. And it just changed the sign out front for the first time in 100 years. Nearly 150 Methodist congregations in North Alabama chose to disaffiliate with the United Methodist Church on Thursday, just 4 days after almost 200 churches in the southern half of the state left. That's 350 churches in Alabama leaving the denomination in 1 week. So as we look at this, it was on to points out that this is just the second wave of disaffiliations. That in the United Methodist Church congregation, they've been dealing with this for a while. They began ordaining women, which was an issue. They supported federal gun controls, which was an issue. They also began to be a part of what was known as the Pro-Abortion Religious Coalition, although they finally withdrew from that just a few years ago. And while they officially condemn homosexuality and don't allow same-sex weddings, they are, you know, very, if you will, just soft on it. They don't want to deal with it. And folks, the church has got to step up. And I guess when I say that, I recognize that just in Alabama alone, 350 churches stepped up and said, we're not going down that road. That social upheaval, that's not what we stand for. That is not truth. And therefore, we're stepping out at great risk to themselves because they're required now to do things like they have to pay to retain the church property in which they meet. They have to pay into the church retirement plans as they exit. They have to do all. It's not an easy thing. This is not a matter of signing a piece of paper and stepping away and putting a different sign out front. You've got churches that are having to step up and not only disaffiliate with their longtime denomination on the basis of social upheaval, but they're having to put their wallets where it is. They're having to put their reputations where it is. They're having to put their traditions where it is. And it's scary. And if you've ever been a part of a church that went through a split, it can be scary. But I'm just telling you, the church has got to take a stand. All right, we'll take a break right now. We come back from that, though, I'll tell you about some other stuff not necessarily related to faith-based issues, like did you know that white supremacy is the most dangerous thing facing America today? Did you know that? I didn't know that. I'm just a cis white male. What do I know? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Social upheaval. We'll talk about it. Be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, we bring you all the news here, local, state, national, sometimes international, like I always say. Breaking news right now, and I'll probably get into it a little bit more after I had a chance to look at it during the next break. But the Durham report, you know, remember that John Durham was appointed as a special investigator on the question of how the whole Trump-Russia collusion investigation went down and what occurred. And he has now come out with a report. And what we're looking at, breaking news, I mean, literally right now, breaking news, is that the Durham report concludes the FBI used an uncorroborated intel, said that they did not properly analyze information they had at hand. And I believe it even says in the report that that whole narrative should have never been allowed to be, you know, brought out because it was absolutely not ripe for investigation. It's antithetical to common sense that the FBI should be out there making claims against the President of the United States using what a long-term investigation proves now was uncorroborated intelligence. All that basically means is they had a narrative and what they had in their hands fit, and so they went with it. That's unbelievable. All right. I'll get more on that during the break, see if I can touch base on it when we get back. Coming back right now on the social upheaval piece, let me just say, in case you didn't know, Boomer, I kind of gave it away, but are you aware of what the most dangerous threat to society is right now?
The most dangerous?
It's existential threat, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean.
Is this white males?
Yes. You and I are apparently strangely, well, it's actually white supremacy.
Oh, so, that's, okay.
Yeah. But according to some, the very fact that you and I are cis white males is somehow making us a threat. But nonetheless, so Joe Biden gave a speech this past weekend. It was one of those things where you look at it and you thought, is anybody advising him on what may be considered a bad idea? But, you know, he's the king panderer. And so he went to Howard University, historically black college, and he in his commencement address, he said, the most dangerous threat, most dangerous terrorist threat, he says, to our homeland is white supremacy. Huh. Okay. And then he goes on to say, because you know he does this, whenever he makes a point, he always say, that's no joke, or I'm not kidding. Or he'll come back and say, And the reason I say that is because he goes back and goes, I'm not saying this because I'm at a black, historically black college. Okay. That's a dead giveaway. That's exactly why he's doing it. I'm not saying this because I'm at a historically black college. I say it wherever I go. No, you don't. And then he went on to invoke January 6th. And then he went on. So bottom line is this. In the eyes of the leader of the free world, the question is not China. It's not the sovereignty of our southern border. It's not an issue of economics or whether or not the inflation is crushing the average citizen and, you know, making it difficult for households to support themselves. The question is whether or not we live in a systemically racist society. And that social upheaval that he's causing, are there racists in the world? Yes, there are. I know that. Are there people who will do bad things based upon a purely racist mindset? Yes. Is it systemic? No. No. Is white supremacy the greatest threat to America? No. In fact, this sounds like jackassery. I'm pretty sure, Boomer, if you would, just hit me some jackassery. There you go. Folks, social upheaval. This is why I said earlier, I didn't even get to all my stuff on this, but this is why I say earlier that we have to keep our eyes on the prize. We have to stay situationally aware, because they will hammer these narratives and they will go down these roads trying to chink away at the mindset that what is truth is not true anymore. And folks, I'm telling you, this is not a systemically racist nation. There are two genders. We are allowed to have an opinion. And oh, by the way, truth is still truth, and you can't change truth. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number one in the can. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm going to jump over real quick to tell you there's been breaking news right for the top of the hour. I mean, literally, I looked up at the screens on the wall. It's still up right now. Breaking news, both CNN and Fox are covering it on the two screens we have on the wall here. Special Counsel John Durham has concluded his report, a 300-page report issued just a little while ago. The investigation was on Operation Crossfire Hurricane, which was the original investigation as to whether or not Trump had ever colluded with Russia to impact our election systems. And I'm going to tell you, this is a big deal. It's breaking right now that Durham has concluded, his report has concluded, that the FBI never should have even launched the full Trump-Russia probe because they did so using raw, what he calls raw and unanalyzed data, meaning they're investigating the President of the United States on things that were paid for. I mean, now we have an official special investigator's report that specifies that the FBI, in his words, failed to uphold their mission of strict fidelity to the law. They went after things that no one should have ever gone after because it was so obvious they were tainted. There was questionable evidence, there was evidence that was non-evidence, and there were sourcings that were directly tied to the political opposition of Donald Trump. So in a 300-page report, they say, we conclude that the department and the FBI failed to uphold their mission of strict fidelity to the law in connection with certain events and activities described herein. And they went on to say that it triggered and sustained Crossfire Hurricane and contributed to the subsequent need for Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. In particular, there was significant reliance on investigative leads provided or funded directly or indirectly by Trump's political opponents. And the department did not adequately examine or question these materials and the motivations of those providing them, even when at the same time, the director of the FBI and others learned of significant or potentially contrary intelligence. In other words, they did nothing to give this thing an objective view. That's a developing story. We'll be covering that probably more tomorrow, but if things break more today, I'll let you know. In the meantime, all the news sites out there are jumping on the fact that John Durham has come out with a report. All right, we just kind of wrapped up the social upheaval dipper, but I have a caller on the line, so let me jump on that real quick. Is that line one, Sparky from Harvest? How you doing, Spark?
Hey, Phil and Boomer, great show. I was listening to your last few segments, and you're going to laugh, but I hearken back to the late 60s. There was a famous movie poster and a very provocative movie called Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice, and it was about suburban couples swinging and flopping, whatever. But substitute the faces on all those four people in bed together with the White House, the mainstream media, the FBI, and the DOJ.
Wow.
They are so in bed together that then the United States citizens see it for what it is. Even the far-left socialist Democrats, exactly, they know that Joe Biden is never going to be prosecuted for egregious treasonous crimes. They know that Hillary Clinton and her people were behind the false narrative and the ridiculous 5 years of investigations. Well, how many now? Is it 10 years of investigations against Donald Trump?
Pretty much.
But they know that the far left is never going to be prosecuted, and it's not even a question of, well, there's two systems of justice in this country. There's a trickle-down effect when people lose faith in justice. At the very top of organizations like that, there will be no justice anywhere. And it's kind of chilling to me.
It's very chilling, and I look at the depth and the level to which they went on that Crossfire Hurricane investigation, just determined to show that there was collusion, Russia. When the reality is, we're now seeing the official record saying what we've always known all along. Like you said, They're just flat in bed together. And that is so disheartening. I think the only thing that I find, you know, heartening out of it, even though it took too long to get there, is that we're getting the official record, evidentiary record, indicating how far afield they went. And hopefully we can begin to see some systemic change out of some of that.
Well, and you know what's funny is there's people in this great town and the great organization, the great institution that's the FBI, with an ever-expanding footprint in this community. I've made some friends with some FBI field agent, cybersecurity people, great people. And I invite them to call in unless they're fearful for their life, to say, hey, we're doing our job. We're doing a great job. We're proud of the job we do. But these crooks at the top, these crooks who are in the middle of these horrible schemes with the far left socialist Democrats, that ain't us. And I'd love to hear from them.
Well, I agree with you. And I've known some great rank and file members of federal law enforcement. And they're good ones. I mean, they're the kind of folks you want to go to war with. But the yes. Political appointees and the upper level bureaucrats. And I was talking to Charlene this past weekend. What is it about the upper levels of the FBI that wants to be against conservatism? I cannot imagine, because you'd think they'd almost feel empowered by having a Ronald Reagan style, you know, conservative, forthright, America first policy. But it's like they lean against that. I can't figure that out.
Well, I think it's about the enticement and the power and the money. Just think of what was going to happen with James Comey when Hillary was going to be elected, and she was going to be elected, and he was active in all this, trying to destroy her political appointment, and look how bad it blew up in his face. You know, when the unexpected happened, the American people showed up and voted against Hillary. I won't say. Like me, they weren't really voting for at the time. They were voting against Hillary. But I suppose it could happen again. But power is seductive, and money is seductive, and that's how it's set.
Well, it is. But I take heart at who the rank and file are. Let's like you and I talk about the military several times here on the show. I take heart knowing who the rank and file are. Everybody is not Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. There's good troops in the rank and file. Officers and enlisted. Right. The same would be true with the FBI and the DEA and others.
Yes. All right. Great show.
All right, brother. We'll see you, man. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye.
I'll be honest with you. I've got a whole nother dipper I was about to start. I haven't even touched it yet, Boomer. This is one of those shows that's taking on a life of its own. I can already tell. But I love that. I mean, the text lines are up. Brian from Huntsville's already in there. I see you, Brian. Let me see if I can get my text line. Well, now that it's trying to refresh, I can't read it, so I don't know what Brian from Huntsville said. I assume he said something nice. He says, he's talking about the FBI raids. This just means the FBI raids John Durham at 3 a.m. next week. let's hope not. Tim from Mount Hebron says, Biden says white supremacy is the biggest threat. Did you hear the crowd he was speaking to clapping and cheering? The crowd believes him. You know, that was disheartening, but I think he was pandering. Once again, I think he was pandering to a crowd that he expected to like that. Mike from Huntsville texted in, and all he says is, Boomer, is the text line just like, is yours refreshing well today? I want to read one, and it goes, okay. $100 million, I don't know what he's asking me. Okay, Mike, you're quoting figures. I'm not sure where we're headed here. He says the DOJ is the Department of Just Us. They are Bolsheviksville. Okay. All right. I'm not sure what the rest of it is, though, man. Something about lots of money. I don't know what he's saying. All right. Listen, we're going to wind up taking a break right now, taking a minute early so I can do a little more justice to the next dipper, because the next dipper, Border Madness, talking about the updates to the southern border issues. We're going to go right into a conversation at the bottom of the half hour with U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in. So y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. So, yeah, number two on the Triple Dipper, Border Madness. Coming up here in a few minutes, you're going to want to stay tuned because right after the half-hour break, we'll come back and U.S. Senator Katie Britt will be on the line with us talking about the southern border. So several things to kind of cover and lead into that. Number one, there have been a couple of things that have happened that have, in my opinion, they are the reasons why the southern border did not go as crazy this past weekend as everybody feared it would. I mean, leading up to it, the weekend, we were seeing record-setting levels of crossings at the southern border, over 10,000 a day, 10,000. Can you imagine what that means? If that continued on, that trend happened, then we're looking at 10,000 times 365. That's 3.6 million something. That's on track to be beyond just illegals crossing the border. That's a mass migration. That is literally an invasion. All right, that being said, a couple of things happened last week that were extremely significant. Number one, the Texas state government took action. Governor Abbott, good on him. He formed what he called his Texas Tactical Border Force. It's a combination under Operation Lone Star. It's a combination of his Department of Public Safety, state troopers, and his state National Guard. They literally went out there on the border and began setting up concertina, you know, razor wire, the coiled razor wire, concertina wire, putting barriers in place and posting National Guard troops in riot gear who would stand there and not let people cross over. And it came in thousands. Boomer's giving me the, yeah.
I'm giving you the, yeah, way to go, guys.
That's right. Fist in the air, yeah. But what it basically had the effect of was it lowered the number who were coming into Texas, Texas being a huge swath of the 3,000-mile border. Okay, there's that. That had a chilling effect on some of those illegals trying to cross over in the Texas regions. The other thing that happened was the Biden administration got caught. They got caught with a secret memo that had been sent out, and it was discovered by the Florida Attorney General as they were going through a number of documents they had sent a FOIA request in on. And this memo to field agents in the Customs and Border Patrol told them explicitly, when you reach capacity on your shelters, which is like they're there right now, just begin doing mass releases. It waived the need for processing. It waived the need for setting up the notional court date to which they will turn. It waived the need to document who they were in great detail. It just said, and they called them street releases, just releasing them in the streets. Just let them go. Just say, here you are. Here's a sandwich. Have a good day. And those two things right there, let me go back up. The court in Florida heard the arguments made by the Attorney General of Florida and enjoined that practice and said that the federal government cannot do that. And it wasn't just for a Florida court system, Florida-specific jurisdiction. It was for a nationwide ban or a freeze or an injunction. Those two things, Texas government, Florida court, had a massive impact, like such that something like two-thirds, not quite two-thirds, a little over, about a third or more of the expected rush for the weekend slowed down. Does not mean things are great. Not at all. Not at all. In fact, I got a story here on justthenews.com. Came out last Thursday. Last Thursday, it says, with just two words, the top uniformed officer, by the way, Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, he's not playing. I follow him on social media. He puts out the stats like you wouldn't believe. He is not afraid to point out what's happening on their southern border. It says the top uniformed officer in the Customs and Border Protection Agency sent shockwaves across Washington, D.C. a couple of months ago when he was asked whether his agency has operational control of the southern U.S. border. No, sir, he said to Congress. And the Biden administration did not appreciate it. Well, that was back when they were at 5,000 a day. That was back when they were 5,000 a day. This past week, they were hitting 10,000 plus a day in illegal crossings. Can you imagine? I mean, the sheer volume of humanity coming across our southern border without any. And by the way, it's a complete lack of respect. They're bum rushing. It's as if. In fact, I wrote a piece that came out today. 1819's got it up right now. It's called "Protect This House," and I took it off of one of the monologues that I'd done last week, with the notion being that what if you had just finally built your dream house, and you're growing tomatoes in the garden, and you've got, you know, your kitchen is all set up the way you wanted it, and you love living there, and you've been very generous to share it with other people, and then you come home and find out that 100 people plus that you don't even know who they are just showed up in your house. And they're eating your food and wearing your clothes and using your facilities and arguing over your TV remote and picking tomatoes off the vines in your garden. And they're basically trampling your house, and you don't even know who these people are. And they look at you once in a while with blank stares like, why would you question this? That's where we are right now on the southern border. There's a bum rush for our border, and it has a complete lack of respect attached to it. It's as if they could care less that it's our house. And we've been extremely generous. We have not been, you know, beating people up. We've been the most generous country in the history of the world, to include many of the nations from which these people are coming. And yet they are rushing our border with the full expectation that they will get in and they will make use of whatever they want to make use of, and we're just required to think that's okay. Story here on Fox News. This one came out Friday afternoon, Texas sends migrants to the Naval Observatory near the Vice President Harris's home once again. So the VP lives in what's known as the Naval Observatory. And that's where the Vice President lives. Obviously, it's number one observatory circle. And once again, Governor Abbott's making a name for himself as a guy who's not afraid to poke the bear. But Governor Abbott says not only are they sending them, he says there will be more coming. To New York, to Philadelphia, to Chicago, and other places around the country, he says. Meanwhile, Mark Green, Republican Representative Mark Green, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, he slammed Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. This happened Thursday also, during an interview in which Mayorkas claimed that the number of illegal border crossings have plummeted in recent days. No, they haven't. Last week, we set a record. Well, his remarks were on CNN's State of the Union, and they weren't really questioned. Never mind the fact that we saw 83,000 crossings last week. 83,000 illegal crossings last week. And Mark Green says, Congressman Mark Green says, what the secretary failed to say is that this week has seen more crossings than at any time, any week in our history. And there was some anticipation, and so people started coming across in higher numbers. In the latter part of the week, a judge ruled and slowed things down. But they can't claim credit for that. In fact, the Biden administration is fighting that ruling because they want it gone so they can just release them in the streets. Unbelievable. U.S. Senator, Alabama's U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in momentarily to talk about it. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.